This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sports Tonight, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KSKA. Fire up the fountain.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now, great friend of the show, Steve Ivey, a.k.a. the Swole Cracker, contributor for Ram Nation. I love Ram Nation. I was repping Ram Nation, Steve, the other night. I had my Ram Nation hat on at Moby. That place was just absolute chaos, and the Rams found a way to get a W. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing great. I noticed you had the white hat. I wore my green RamNation.com hat on Wednesday night, so we would have looked good together.
We were repping, man. You got to rep this team. You got to rep the people that cover this team, and I love what you guys do. I was like sitting catty corner of Joel. I look up, I'm like, there's Joel, and he saw the hat and he was pumped up. But no, I love what you guys are doing, especially this basketball coverage has been so much fun. I tell you what, though. It's getting real. I mean, it's been fun all year watching the Mountain West, Steve, but things are heating up. There is still a roundabout way where that Colorado State-Boise State game can kind of be up for everything, right? I mean, that could have a lot of meaning to it.
Absolutely. You know, I just listened to your previous segment. You did a great job recapping all the big games coming up in the next week. And, you know, the fun part for me, Brady, right now is from a higher level. What a conclusion to season this is. This has been just a great Mountain West season. And now you get a week of just all kinds of great games. And, yeah, CSU, they're still in there. Obviously, they have to take care of business tomorrow night in Utah State. But, boy, wouldn't it be fun to be in Moby on next Saturday night if the conference championship was on the line. Obviously, we need some good things to happen out of either UNLV or Nevada with Boise State. We still need Wyoming to lose another game as well. But if CSU can win out the last two, and Boise only loses to UNLV and CSU, Wyoming loses a game, CSU will win the tiebreakers, and they'll end up as the number one seed as well. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, Steven, when you look at Wyoming first and foremost, I mean, they got a home game against San Diego State. And I know they have Nevada, too, and that's not a gimme. But, you know, if you're a betting man and you're looking at chances where Wyoming could be knocked off, home game against San Diego State and then at UNLV, they still have Fresno State, too. So odds are, Steve, Wyoming's going to lose another game.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. But you know what? I was really impressed with Wyoming the other night. CSU came out smoking, and Wyoming hung in there. And they're gonna be a tough out for everybody this coming week. I'm sorry, they're just a good solid team. But yeah, I think the San Diego State game will be telling on Monday night. The one thing in Wyoming's favor, San Diego State is usually lousy at elevation. I was looking at their record. They played two elevation games this year. They lost at CSU, and they got smoked in Logan against Utah State. And they have two more to go. They have traditionally have trouble playing at elevation. The other thing that's really interesting about San Diego State, and again, I looked at their record, they're like 3-5 when they play outside of the state of California. They play most of their games in California. So I'll tell you right now, I think Wyoming is going to be a tough out on Monday night. I won't be surprised to see San Diego State win, but I think Wyoming is going to be really tough. I think the bigger game for Wyoming will be at UNLV.
Yeah, March 2nd. And I think, boy, UNLV, how about this, Steve? This is how poetic basketball can be. UNLV has been a gigantic thorn in the sides of Colorado State. They beat them twice this year. However, now Rams fans are big UNLV fans. We need UNLV to knock off Boise State. We need them to knock off Wyoming. How does that work out?
I think it's hilarious, but that's just the way it is. you know, the UNLV really developed over the course of the year. It would have been nice to get them right at the beginning of the season when they were still a relatively new team. But they've gotten better and better. And I'll tell you what, in Las Vegas, they're going to be a tough out, not just in these regular season games, but come tournament time. They're going to end up probably the number five seed. They're going to be you don't want to be in that number four spot, that's for sure.
I'll tell you, Steve, there's a roundabout chance here. This is why I think that CSU-Wyoming win was so huge for CSU, because I think the ticket's punched, but I'd rather be safe than sorry, whatever. But when I look at the tournament, the fire that UNLV has caught, I would not be surprised if they run all the way through and do something crazy. Obviously, I'm hoping that's not the case, but, I mean, they're playing almost as good as anybody right now in the conference.
Yeah, if you look at that, what's trending in terms of the analytics, UNLV has been as good as anybody the last several games. They've had good road wins, obviously a good home win against CSU, but they're tough. And I got to tell you, it's going to be a really interesting tournament because there are five teams that I think can win it. And when I say can win it, have good chance of winning, the next three are dangerous teams and could really upset the apple cart for the higher seeds. It's going to be a heck of a tournament. But I'll tell you what, this next week, I'm just looking forward to the next week. I am in agreement with you that I think CSU has punched their ticket. That's the optimist in me. But then there's the cynic, the 2015 cynic right in me. CSU should have gone, and then you had Wyoming win the tournament, and they were not going to take more than four Mountain West teams, and CSU was the one that got knocked out, even though they were very deserving of being in the tournament. What I worry about is, of course, if the committee, they do look at conference RPIs. They say they don't, but they do, and they're not going to let more than four Mountain West teams in, which says you better be one of the top three if you don't win the tournament.
Well, and I agree 100%. I guess the good thing, too, is with UNLV being the team that beat CSU twice, with them coming on so fast here these last few games, I suppose bodes well. And, you know, we're hoping CSU just takes care of Utah State, and I think that solves a lot of the riddles there. But, again, the better UNLV does down the stretch, the better it is for Colorado State, kind of insurance, if you will.
Well, what's really interesting, if you look at how they've climbed in the net rankings and the KenPom.com rankings, they got a chance to turn into a quad one, instead of a quad two, and they have a chance to turn into a quad two loss instead of a quad three. All of a sudden, CSU's resume technically looks better. But I'll be honest with you, I think CSU's resume is fine as long as they finish out the season the way they're capable of. You look at they're 9-3 against quad one and quad two teams, and that's the best record in the Mountain West against quad one, quad two, and that's every bit as good a record to get a top eight seed.
We're talking to Steve Ivey, contributor for Ram Nation. Okay, Steve, help me out with the tiebreakers here. If it works out, if the Rams win and beat Utah State, they go into the Boise State game at 13-4. Let's say Boise State drops one of them here. How does that tiebreaker work if CSU then beats them and delivers Boise State their fourth loss, and they both finish with four losses?
So the first thing they do is they go head to head, Brady. If the scenario to work out is the way you played it, CSU would have won both games against Boise State. So they would win the head to head tiebreaker. If by chance there was a three way tie, and that's still a possibility, then they get the head to head of the combined teams, and CSU would be 2-0 against Boise State, 1-1 with Wyoming. They would be 3-1, and they would win the tiebreaker if the tie was with Wyoming and Boise. The interesting one is San Diego State. They could still end up with four losses, but they will end up no better than 13-4 because they are not replaying one game. They're not replaying their game at New Mexico. So I'm not sure how the conference is going to treat that. I've read things that say they'll do pure winning percentage and San Diego State would finish behind. I've also read some things that say they'll give them credit as if they played that game and look at just the loss column. So I don't know what's going to happen. San Diego State is the monkey wrench in all this, but I still think San Diego State has a loss in them as well. So yeah. We'll see. CSU's in good shape if we can get 14-4 and get the other teams at 14-4.
Yeah.
Other than that, we need to basically win out and let the other chips fall as they may.
Yeah, you're right. It gets easy if Boise State loses one of these games before CSU, because as you said, you got the head-to-head. What isn't easy is the rest of it surrounding them with San Diego State and Wyoming and all that. But I guess it's a blast. I think this tournament is, boy, don't you think this tournament's going to be historic, the Mountain West tournament?
I think it's crazy. I agree with you 100%. We've had, you know, four teams that are good. I don't think we've ever had eight teams like this, where you worry about getting knocked out, in that quarterfinal round. It would be real easy to see. I would not be surprised to see seeds 5, 6, 7, and 8 win games, in the quarterfinal round. You could very much see complete turmoil after the first day because they're that good. You know, you got the seventh and eighth place teams are, Utah State, who has beaten teams like Oklahoma, and they're pretty much hanging in right around 50th in the net, right around 50th in the KenPom. And then you get Nevada, who has been a huge disappointment this year that some people had as their preseason conference favorite. They're that good. So, and they're going to be the eighth place team. You're not looking at chump teams in the 7 and 8. There will not be a gimme yet from the quarterfinal round on. It'll be a tough, tough tournament.
All right, Steve, let me ask you our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Which Mountain West team is most likely to miss out on the tournament, if you had to guess, or are all four getting in? San Diego State, Wyoming, Boise State, or CSU? And a lot of people are saying, Boise State's in, you know, no worries. But as we outlined, there's certainly some opportunities there. If the Broncos lose two out of these next three and don't have a showing in the conference tournament, there is a chance the Broncos could get left out. So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, there's a chance. I think Boise State and CSU are both in very, very good shape right now. Boise has that one Q4 loss, the inexplicable loss to Cal State Bakersfield that looks crummy on the resume, but they've got a lot of quad one, quad two wins, and they've got a lot of strength built into their resume. CSU, I think, is in basically the same spot as long as they close the season. Ultimately, it comes down to San Diego State, Wyoming. I think San Diego State needs to have a good final week. They do not have a lot of credibility right now in quad one, quad two. They are dominant in quad three and quad four. They're going to have to win. They're going to have to beat Wyoming. I think if they lose to Wyoming, they're in trouble. And I don't think Wyoming is necessarily in trouble if they lose to San Diego State at home, as long as they take care of business in their other games. And they have a good chance to do that. So I lean toward Wyoming getting in over San Diego State right now. I just think San Diego State is up against it right now. I think they're a good team. And quite frankly, I think they are going to get four in as long as one of the four wins the Mountain West Conference tournament.
Boy, it's heating up. I know tonight's game isn't necessarily a barn burner. San Diego State's favored by 21 over San Jose State, but stranger things have happened toward the end of the season, so who knows? That could throw off everything if the bad Spartans find a way to get a W.
I will die laughing if Tim Miles pulls off that upset.
Tim helping his boys.
What's really interesting is if you go back 2 years, Brady, when San Diego State had that top five team, they had to hit a buzzer. They had a buzzer beater at home to beat San Jose State, and they were favored by 20 or close to 20 in that game. And they needed a last second three ball by Malachi Flynn to win that game. And they were top five team, much better. So you just don't know. It's you were talking about the CU game last night against Arizona State, and CU should have rolled in that game, and then they get absolutely murdered. And part of that, we sometimes forget. These are 19, 20, 21-year-old kids playing a game. They're still very young. They're not professionals. And as good as they are, things happen. And you never know. I would doubt that San Diego State's going to lose tonight, but you never know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd be very shocked if that's the case. Final one for you, Steve. Was that the craziest atmosphere you've ever seen at Moby Arena?
It wore me out. It was so good. It was so emotional. You know, what's really funny, you know, we got to sit through, we sat through a couple of games together. You know how I am. I get into it with the refs, but I don't really worry about CSU. And I talked to one of the coaches after the game. I talked to Brian Cooley, and I said, you know, as close as that game was, I was never really worried about CSU losing that game because I thought they were just so focused and so well connected. Defensively, I mean, you've already commented on this week, and you've had a bunch of people on to talk about it, but that defensive performance, which featured some pretty intricate things they had to do to shut down Maldonado and Ike, that required five guys really working together in terms of reading the play and getting the proper spacing so that they didn't leave the three-point shooters absolutely wide open. That was a tremendous defensive performance, and you could see it happening. And I felt very, very confident that eventually they were going to make enough shots to win. But boy, yeah, it was crazy and it was fun. And I got to tell you, I knew Wyoming was good. I have a lot more respect for Wyoming after that game. I thought CSU played a very good game, and Wyoming did hang in there, and they made the right plays to stay in the game. And yeah, Ike and Maldonado did not have great games, but boy, that Drake Jeffrey sure can shoot. And they got other guys that can do it too. And they are such a well-coached team that they can make adjustments on the fly as well. And after going down by 12 points early, the fact that they came back and were able to take the lead in a very, very hostile environment, I am very impressed with what Linder's done with Wyoming with this team. And I think they're going to be a tough out this next week.
I'm with you too. And you're right, that defensive scheme that Coach Medved and this coaching staff drew up, I mean, it was perfect. They doubled on Graham Ike just at the perfect timing. Too soon, and it's not going to work. He's going to find a guy. Too late, and he's going to take one-on-one. I thought they timed it out perfectly. They shut down the passing lanes. Graham's having to throw the ball from on the other side of the court. I mean, how many turnovers did he have, or at least bad passes where, you know, the shooter in the corner gets the ball and has to jump up to get it? He had a couple of times where he just overthrew him. So I thought that was great, a great job just taking away his vision.
Yeah, that was what you'd pointed out was exactly it. The timing had to be really, really good in terms of when CSU slapped the double teams. They needed to make sure they got the right pressure on Maldonado to take him out of the game. Kendall Moore did a great job. And then with Ike, I think James Moore did an unbelievable job of just getting him off his spot, forcing him 15 to 18 feet away from the basket instead of 10 feet from the basket. And that makes the timing different. It makes the double teams a little easier to slap on in terms of when to do it, and then makes the rotations a little more normal as well. And CSU had to really rotate properly on the perimeter. I give Wyoming credit. They figured out a way to find Drake Jeffries.
That guy's
money. He was shooting from the Bank of Colorado logo 30 feet away, and anytime he shot it. But, you know, the one thing I wanted to point out, it was funny, the James Moores thing. If you watched at the end of the game, it was still a game. I don't know, it was a four-point or six-point game, and Jeffries got the ball late and the shot clocked on the perimeter, and he got one-on-one matched up with James Moores, and he could not get a clean shot off against James Moores. And from my perspective, that play was not necessarily the play of the game, but it was kind of the epitome of how well the defense played all night. That was just kind of a sign of what they had done for 40 minutes, and that was an incredible play. The play of the game was Roddy blocking EK. I think that took a little bit of a spot away, and EK struggled to find any kind of rhythm after that. But all in all, that 40 minutes of defense was fantastic, and the fact that Wyoming stayed that close is credit to Wyoming.
No question about it, man. James Moore's, for as great as he was in that game, no more threes, right? I think we can agree. He had the one open three, and he's like, you know what? It's hero time, everybody.
So, Brady, but here's the deal, and what's really interesting about James played for the under-19 New Zealand national team in the World Championships, the under-19 championships. James was the second-best three-point shooter in that tournament.
No kidding.
Behind, I'm trying to remember who it was, but it was an American who was a lottery pick after his first or second year. So James was a shooter when he came to CSU. They have reworked his game to become a post player, and that's uh, that that his perimeter shooting will come back at some point during his career.
Yeah, I'd like to see it because for the most part, he doesn't even try. He doesn't even look at the rim, but he did that time at least once. Steve, I'm up against it, my man. Love talking to you as always. Love catching your stuff. You break down this game so beautifully. I'm a big fan, so you just keep up the good work.
Thanks, Brady. Hey, have a great week, and I'll tell you what, we have a fun one upcoming. Let's talk again.
All right, my man. I'm looking forward to it. That's Steve Ivey, the Swole Cracker himself from Ram Nation. That's something. I didn't know that. That's why you get Steve on. That's why you get these diehards on. 41 minutes after the hour. I got to take a short break. We'll get the latest on the local Sports Flash.